Christ King would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free. Jesus died for me. Yes, he died.
Hallelujah. Good morning. Yep. We are children of God. You are a child of God. Yes, you are. That's a beautiful song by Hillsong Worship. Who you are. Beautiful, 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 beautiful song. All right. So you are God's child. You are God's loved one. And you have the gift of righteousness. That's what we're learning. It's the third edition of the gift of righteousness. And guess what? All right, so yesterday was brought to my notice that today, this is episode 60 of the Morning Faith Boost. Yay! wow, okay, so awesome, praise God. 60 episodes of the Morning Faith Boost. I mean, that's wonderful. Wow, praise God. And so much has been put out. God has helped us. Thank God, all right? And thank you for being there, listening in. Listening in, sharing, and maybe telling someone else about it. So thank you, you know, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hey, you know, so... But it's wonderful. I mean, it's glorious. Praise God. We keep going, firing on, you know, by His love and grace. And please, if you do not follow us on YouTube, please subscribe. Lanray Rex on us on YouTube. Just subscribe, and then there's so much you could get over there, and then really get blessed. And share this with friends. I mean, like, so much in this place. We've taught a whole lot. And, I've had people tell me, I went back to listen to this one. I went back to listen to that one. So, I mean, this is solid. And all the messages we have here, we do not have them on the website. At least not yet. We're not extracting and uploading over there. So this is like a hub of solid stuff. All right. Super, super. In a hall for super solid stuff. So, yep. Welcome to the 60th episode of the Morning Faith Boost. Yippee-yay. All right. So, we're talking about the gift of righteousness. I believe it's getting clear. If you have questions, you could please send them. Right, you could also mail them to rex@gmail.com. Just let's know what you're thinking. You could drop your comments right here, or so we get blessed. All right, praise God. Now we're jumping over straight to Romans 8 because I want to show you something. We stopped at Romans 5. We looked at the first and the second verses. So I'm coming into Romans 8. We'll go to Romans 10 and we will come to Romans 5. Would that be fine with you? Because I need to build something and we don't have to go. We don't necessarily have to go chapter by chapter. We don't necessarily have to do that. All right. We just have to take it with a particular line of thought. So I just want to build up a case and then we'll come to chapter 5. So Romans 8 and the first verse, all right, says this: therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. There's therefore now no condemnation, all right, to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. But 3 and 4 are where I'm going right now. I could spend time a bit explaining, you know, 1 and 2. But you would understand 3 and 4 when you understand the gift of righteousness. All right? And maybe when we get to chapter 5, you don't understand 1 very, very well. So verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What the law could not do, all right, in that it was weak. So the law couldn't achieve righteousness. The law couldn't give eternal life. The law couldn't make anybody perfect. The law was just there staring them in the face, all right, and reminding them that they had sinned. No matter how hard they tried to fulfill the law, their sin nature kept popping up in front of them. And if you remember what we dealt with, when we looked at the fact that we're the authentic seed of Abraham, the purpose of the law was that the law was a schoolmaster. The law was given until Christ will come. So we in Africa, those in America, those in Europe, all right, those in Asia, all right, I mean, those in Australia, we do not have a business, so to say, with the law. Why? Because the law had expired as at the time the gospel got to us. All right, the law had been deleted. The law had been abolished at the time the gospel got to us. Because Galatians 3 made it clear that the law was only a schoolmaster until the seed will come. All right, and now that seed, Christ has come, or that faith has come, there's no longer need for the law. So when the gospel was being taken all around, that means the law had gone. And which was the fight, all right, that Paul had with the Jews? That was a fight that Paul had, even with believers, all right, that were Jewish or of Jewish origin, especially those of the circumcision party. They say, yeah, we understand that, all right, these guys are born again, but we still got to tell them to fulfill the law of Moses. And it was so much, you know what? Let me show you Acts chapter 15, all right? So that might just help someone to get this in a little bit of more perspective. Because in Acts 15, all right, there were issues. All right, we'll do NLT. So Acts 15, NLT. I get to explain. NLT has simpler English, right? Easy understanding for most folk, okay? So Acts 15. And sometimes, you know, most of us grew up on King James. Of course, I began with the Revised Standard Version. That was what I finished secondary school with. So that's what I had. That was my first Bible as I'd been born again, right? Then I moved to King James and then stayed with King James home. So you find that most of the things, sometimes we haven't meditated on King James for a while. You know, you took out time to meditate and then you're able to catch a breakdown of the verse from meditation, or, you know, you caught some revelation from it. You now find out later that that thing you saw, you know, another Bible version, almost kind of like put it like that. You're like, okay. But yet again, I mean, we tried. It means that we were giving attention to meditation and to deep thinking and to study, all right? So But praise God. So while Paul and Barnabas, that's Acts 15 from verse 1, while Paul and Barnabas were at Antioch of Syria, some, please watch this, some men from Judea arrived and began to teach the believers, saying, unless you are circumcised, as required by the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. You need to get this. I'll take that again. While Paul and Barnabas were at Antioch of Syria, some men from Judea arrived and began to teach the believers. These men too were born again. They were teaching the believers, right? Saying, unless you're circumcised, I'm adding sayings, just colon there. Unless you're circumcised as required by the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. Paul and Barnabas disagreed with them, arguing vehemently. All right, there are things to many times put our foot down on and say, no, I will not. And usually it's doctrine, right? It's important to understand, all right, the place and the importance of what exactly do we stand for, what exactly do we believe, and why. All right, like I was saying yesterday, someone could come up and say, my dad is man and my dad is woman, and then your dad is man. We need to say no, all right? So don't get on social media, one guy acts like a girl, and then you like his post, you comment, God bless you, and something's wrong, all right? Maybe you see stuff, and then there's a whole lot of gay or lesbian stuff, and you're like, you have to know, this is wrong. There's something not right. A lot is not right about this. This is twisted, all right? This is taking God's idea of Adam and Eve and twisting it, making it into Adam and Steve, all right? Making it so a husband could be male and then a wife could be male, or a wife, all right, could be female and then a husband female, and then they adopt and then they have kids. No, something is twisted about that. All right. So you find in verse 2, Paul and Barnabas disagreed with them, arguing vehemently. Finally, the church decided, as a church at Antioch, decided to send Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem, accompanied by some local believers, to talk to the apostles and elders about this question. Verse 3, the church sent the delegates to Jerusalem, and they stopped along the way in Phoenicia and Samaria to visit the believers. They told them much to everyone's joy that the Gentiles too were being converted. I mean, that's wonderful news. When they arrived in Jerusalem, Barnabas and Paul were welcomed by the whole church, including the apostles and elders. They reported everything God had done through them. But then some of the believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees stood up and insisted, please, isn't this funny? Some of the believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees. I mean, these guys, unlike Paul, became born again, but still were carrying that, should we call it pharmaceutical? All right, sounds like pharmaceutical, right? I mean, they still carry this pharmaceutical mindset. They were still Pharisees. How could you mix being Pharisee? And then, I mean, you're still, so maybe we'll see it as profession or something, right? But there's a mindset, all right, that they have as being Pharisees that they grew up with and they did not abandon, all right, now that they've come to understand the excellency that is in Christ. Well, obviously, they have not fully yet come to understand the excellency of Christ. They just understood, all right, maybe the sacrifice of Christ, all right? So verse 5 again says, but some of the believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees stood up and insisted, the Gentile converts must be circumcised and required to follow the law of Moses. So the apostles and elders met together to resolve this issue. At the meeting, after a long discussion, Peter stood and addressed them as follows. Brothers, you all know that God chose me from among you some time ago to preach to the Gentiles, so that they could hear the good news and believe. God knows people's hearts, and he confirmed that he accepts Gentiles by giving them the Holy Ghost. Peter here is talking about what happened in the house of Cornelius, all right? Yeah, yes, giving them the Holy Ghost just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he cleansed their hearts through faith. So why are you now challenging God by burdening? Please note this. Why are you challenging God by burdening the Gentile believers with the yoke that neither we nor our ancestors were able to bear? Peter here is talking about the law. And he basically says concerning the law, all right, why are you challenging Why are you now challenging God by burdening? So number one, he calls the law burden, all right? Or we'll just pick it together. By burdening the Gentile believers with a yoke. So we'll say called it a yoke, all right? That burdens, all right? So why are you challenging God by burdening the Gentile believers with a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors were able to bear? So the law was a difficult task, even for the Jews. Even for the Jews. 11, we believe that we are all saved by the same way, by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody getting this now? But and this is clear. So Peter made it clear. We couldn't bear this thing. Our ancestors could not bear this thing. So back again to Romans and the 8th chapter, the 3rd verse. So I'll maybe just stick with NLT here. So Romans 8:3, the law of Moses was unable to save us. Us, please understand Paul's context, Jew, all right? Us Jews. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God, all right, did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in the body, like the bodies of bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. So Jesus did not only take away sin, he took away the power of sin. You need to get that. He did not only take away sin, right? We'll see that when we're done, right, with Romans 5 and maybe enter into Romans 6. But you could just, on your own, quickly read through Romans 6 today. And one of the things I've come to understand with Romans 6, even by experience, is that it helps you break the power of habits. All right, it helps you when it looks like, oh, I can't handle this. No, Romans 6 helps you. And if you read Romans 6, verse 1 to 14, you could do 1 to 16, but 1 to 14 is also fine. And then it lets you see, oh, sin shall not have dominion over me. All right, and then you begin to see sin for what it is. All right, you begin to see yourself and your relationship with sin is well defined, you know, in a place like Romans 6, not only Romans 6, but a place like Romans 6, all right? Because you've put to death, all right, your body, all right? The old man has been crucified. The body of sin has been destroyed, Romans 6 teaches us. So, Jesus, all right, the Son of God, was sent by God to end sin's control over us. Please understand it. He didn't just forgive us our sins and say, okay, all your sins forgiven, keep going on. No, we were transformed by giving us a new nature, which is righteousness. Listen, the nature affects the conduct. All right? The nature affects because we sinned because we're sinners. Now we're righteous. But two things to understand. Number one is the place of nature, but number two is not the place of the mind. The nature affects the conduct primarily, but the mind affects the outcome. Did you get that? The nature affects the conduct. The nature affects it. It changes who you are. But you could now decide to give certain informations to your mind, which now affect your outcome, your behavior, your output. You are female, but you could decide, you know, like we referred some folk and say, oh, this lady is a tomboy, all right? She just acts so much like a guy. Dresses like one, swings like one, you're just bouncing around, you know, like a guy. But the Bible lets us know here, listen, the nature of sin has been taken off. The power of sin has been broken. Verse 4, God did this so that the just requirement of the law will be fulfilled for us. I want you to notice this language. Who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit, right? Basically here, those that are born again, all right? Passion Translation. So now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the anointed one living his life in us. We are free to live not according to our flesh, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Ghost. All right, NIV says, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. I want you to take note of something. The Bible is not saying that the righteous requirements of the law might be met by us. It's saying that the righteous requirements of the law might be met in us or met for us. So you've got to understand the language the Bible is using. Please understand this. All right. God's word says, therefore, we who do not live by our corrupt nature, but by our spiritual nature, are able to meet God's standards in Moses' teachings. How? Through what Jesus has done. So not by our own works, not by our own self, not by our own strength. Are you getting this now, somebody? All right? KJV again lets us know that he did this so that the just requirements of the law will be fully satisfied for us. I mean, NLT rather. Fully satisfied for us who no longer fulfill our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. So God, all right, does these things for us in Christ. God did this rather for us. All right, once Jesus died, Jesus fulfilled everything the law has and then handed it over to us. Handed it over to us. Handed it over to us. Let's go to the 31st verse. It says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as this? If God is for us, who can be against us? 32, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? Nobody. For God himself, all right, has given us a right standing with himself. So there's no accusation against the believer because God has brought you into his good book. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he's sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. This is Romans 8. Now, Romans 9, I wish I could spend time with the whole of Romans 9. Sometimes for a number of people, Romans 9 seems to be confusing. All right? So I need to rush a little bit quickly now so that we get to Romans 10, at least the first four verses of Romans 10, which I wanted to take today. So I'm going straight to the very, 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 very end of Romans 9. Now, when you read Romans 9, please, and then you see, it's none of him that willeth, nor of him that, you know, and God shows mercy, and then, you know, God, all right, chose, before Esau and Jacob did anything, God said, I love one, I hate the other, and see what happened to Pharaoh. Don't get lost on all of that. The end point is Paul is teaching on righteousness. Please read it with the fact that Romans 8 was about righteousness. Romans 10 is about righteousness. The end of Romans 9 is still about righteousness. So the larger part of Romans 9 should be about righteousness. The same way you read Romans chapter 7. Oh, Paul says, oh, see, I'm tied up in this flesh. Who's going to deliver me? All right, there are things fighting in me. All right, the good I want to do, I don't do. And all of that. So you now say, yes, it's true. Even me, like Paul, the evil I don't want to do is what I do. That there's a law at work in me. As much as I don't serve God in my inward parts, you know. So, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? You know, and then we see that, but you forget that Romans chapter 7 is right in between Romans 6 and Romans 8. Paul is teaching on righteousness. Don't get lost, right, with that large portion of Romans 7, and don't get lost with that large portion of Romans 9. You've got to keep reading and follow where he's going. So I've got to skip, all right, to the very end of Romans 8, please, all right, if you do not mind. Because this is the essence of what Paul, look at how the NLT puts it in the 30th verse of Romans 9. What does all this mean? Did you get that? Having said all the things he said that people feel, God might not save some of us, God might just not show mercy to me. No, what does all this mean? This is where Paul is going with all his story. And this is it. Even though the Gentiles, watch this, please watch this. And remember who Gentiles are, all the non-Jews, the Africans, Americans, everybody, all right? Even though the Gentiles were not trying to follow God's standard, they were made right with God. And it was by faith that this took place. But the people of Israel who tried so hard to get right with God by keeping the law never succeeded. Anybody getting that? I'll quickly read it again. What does all this mean? Even though the Gentiles were not trying to follow God's standards, they were made right. They became righteous. And it took place by faith. But the people of Israel who tried so hard to get right with God by keeping the law, they never succeeded. Why not? Because they were trying to get right with God by keeping the law instead of by trusting him. They stumbled over the great rock in their path. God warned them of this in the scriptures when he said, I'm placing a stone in Jerusalem that makes people stumble. A rock that makes people fall. Anyone who trusts in him will not be disgraced. Anybody who trusts in him will not be disgraced. So let's just pick this where. Passion, or maybe one more place. I just want you to see this quite well, all right? King James makes it clear too. Anyway, so Passion says, so then, what does all this mean? Here's the irony. The non-Jewish people who weren't even pursuing righteousness were the ones who seized it. A perfect righteousness that is transferred by faith. This is beautiful. The non-Jewish people who were not even pursuing righteousness were the ones who seized it. A perfect righteousness that is transferred by faith. 31 says, yet Israel, even though pursuing a legal righteousness, did not attain to it. And why was that? Because they did not pursue the path of faith, but insisted on pursuing righteousness by works. This is beautiful. And it, as if it could be seized another way, they were offended by the means of obtaining it and stumbled over the stumbling rock. Just as it is written, be careful, I'm setting a stone in Zion, right, that will cause people to stumble, a rock of offense that will make them fall, but believers in me or in him will not experience shame. So this is saying those who were not looking for righteousness, they got it. Those who were trying hard to get it, didn't get it. Why? They did not get it by faith. They were only trying to get it by works. I want you to look for someone around you who doesn't understand righteousness. Now, don't teach it from the angle of, hey, now you're righteous, or do whatever you feel like doing. I mean, that's always wrong. Teach it from, do you know God loves you so much, he changed your nature? All right, share the gospel, because this is good news. I mean, back in those days, you go to meet someone and all you tell persons, you know you're going to hell. You know you're a sinner. You know you're going to hell. You know you're a sinner. That's not good news. The gospel is good news. You go tell the person, you know, with all that you've done, God sent Jesus to pay the price for your sin. If you've got staff, share the word of God with them. God brought them to you, not just so that your business or company, I mean, if you've got junior colleagues, you've got team members, teammates. God didn't just bring themselves to advance the company, push the business to new heights, you know, make your department the best in the entire, you know, your unit the best in the entire department or department in the entire company. God puts you around people to be a light. Share the gospel. Talk to someone. Find ways of communicating the gospel. Please, all right? You could pick some of these episodes, maybe one, share with someone and say, can we discuss later? Let me know what you got. It's a simple starter. So quickly on Romans 10, all right? So Romans 10, I'll still do NLT. So Romans 10 from the first verse. Now, the Bible, all right, these books in the Bible were not written in chapters and verses. That was done for easy referencing and all, okay? So Paul is still saying the same thing. So don't forget, he said they were trying hard to get righteousness by the law, not by faith. So quickly do Romans 10, 1 to 4. Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. Verse 2 says, I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal. This is simple and beautiful. Verse 3, for they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. Let's do Passion Translation. Right, just finding the simple English to get this thing across you. My beloved brothers and sisters, the passionate desire of my heart and constant prayer to God is for my fellow Israelites to experience salvation. For I know that although they are deeply devoted to God, they are unenlightened. NLT says misdirected zeal. They are unenlightened. And since they've ignored the righteousness God gives, waiting instead to be acceptable to God because of their own works, they've refused to submit to God's faith righteousness. Right? They are trying to still be righteous by their works. God says, no, it is by faith. Verse 4 therefore says, for Christ is the end of the law. And because of him, God has transferred his perfect righteousness to all who believe. This is glorious. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. For Christ is the end of the law. Remember, I was telling you, I think it was the first day, that people get to say, oh, the law wasn't abolished. All right, Jesus said he came to fulfill the law. I know the trick is, not trick, but the revelation is in the word to fulfill there. Fulfill means to complete, all right, to bring to completion. So whatever the law required, I have done it. So he did it and put it aside. not fulfill, like I also came to do it and I'm actually able to do it. Look at NLT verse 4. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. This is a great place to end today. Beautiful glory to God for this revelation. Are you getting this? For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. Did you get that? So Adam sinned. Everybody who is born after Adam inherits the sin. Jesus believes God. Everybody who has faith in Christ inherits the righteousness. Share this with someone today. Remind yourself as you go through your day. Remind yourself, all right, that I am the righteousness of God, not by my works, but by my faith in Christ Jesus. By me believing in the things that Jesus has done for me, I am the righteousness of God. I know who I am. I know what God has said about me. I'm excited. Thank you once again for tuning in. Please, you could be a blessing to someone and share this with them. I know you could put it on a status, but you could share directly. Like, I want you to hear this. Please listen to this. Please hear this. Please get blessed by this. And I will hook up with you again tomorrow. Have a blessed day.